We're going to be looking this evening at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we read, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." What's your purpose in life? What's your purpose in life? I've got people in work, they're always sort of saying, you know, this is my purpose. This is what I'm going to do. They come to us. I work in a call centre in Cardiff, for those of you that don't know. And they come along, they've got such grand dreams about what their lives are going to be like. They're going to be there for 6 months, then, like I was, and then move on. And 12 years later, they're still there. But what is your purpose in life? What's your priority? What is it that you live for? Again, different people would sort of, if we went out on the streets of Clydach this evening, we'd get lots of different answers, wouldn't we? Some people, they'd be living for their job. Others would be living for money. And within that, some people for the best of intentions, to provide for their families, to give their kids what they needed. You could be here, you could be living for your university degree, your A-levels, GCSE, schoolwork. It could be for sport. Some people live for religion and church. Yet here in these verses, this passage, it gives us a very clear message as to what our priority would be. They are our Lord's last words on earth. Very important, the very last things that he would say to his disciples. Now his disciples, being good evangelicals, they want to know more. So in verse 7, they are focused, aren't they, on talking about the end times. They want to know the minute, infinite detail. And he sort of, they've asked him, haven't they, in verse 6, what he's talking sort of about how the Holy Spirit will come. And they've then asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They're concerned about what will happen. They're concerned about the detail of what is going to happen in the coming weeks and months and years. Yet Jesus, our Lord, doesn't he, he just redirects their focus. "Don't you worry about that. That's for the Father to know about. What you need to do is this." So he redirects their focus to evangelism. He redirects their focus to sharing their faith with others. And what I'd like to do this evening is to ask three questions. Firstly, I'd like to ask, what should our priority be? Then to ask, how can we fulfill that? And then finally, how or where should we live that out? So firstly then, what's our priority? Well, we read, don't we, in verse 8, that you shall be witnesses to me. You shall be witnesses to me. We're used to the idea of a witness, aren't we? We've seen this week the very high profile court case. We sort of understand, don't we, that in a court, people are brought forward as witnesses to talk about things. We get that idea, to give a testimony about it, to sort of talk about it. And we can all do that. I'm sure if I sort of got you, you'd all have your specialist subject, that I could get you up here and you could talk for 10 minutes non-stop. You know, your pastor's specialist subject would be Wrexham Football Club. He could come up here, he could talk to you about that for probably more than 10 minutes and you'd all be bored. I could probably give him a run for his money as well. But other people, it would all be different things. Yeah, this is the idea here that Luke is sort of talking about. The words that are used here is about being a witness. The actual word is the same word that martyr comes from. So it's about somebody testifying, no matter what the result of that testimony is. And we've got to say, haven't we, because there is an idea that you can sort of witness about the Lord Jesus. I think it was St. Francis of Assisi, wasn't it, who said, you know, evangelize and use words if you need to. Well, no, this here is telling us, no, as Christians, we're to tell other people about the Lord Jesus. We're to talk to them. We're to use words. We're to testify about him. Now, of course, we need to remember, don't we, that this command is to certain people. It was made to these specific men who were there at the time. Now, that's not to say it's not applicable to us, but clearly we need to understand that first and foremost, it was to these men, these disciples who were there. It echoes, of course, with Matthew 28. And if you decided, if you were going to decide, I want you to imagine that you could decide how you were going to portray your message. You had a message you wanted to get. If you wanted people to tell others about you, to testify about you, how would you do that? How would you do that? You could use the television, couldn't you? You could hire out a channel on Sky. We could have the Gareth Davis channel. That would be good, wouldn't it? I'm sure people would want to watch that. No. But you could do that. You could hire out a radio channel. You could get a website. You could write a book. Here's a book that you could give to everybody. This is the message of this man. This is what he did. We could do that, couldn't we? We could use every innovation that we could possibly do. We could get one of those big billboards that you see. But here, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has decided to use these men. And you'd think, wouldn't you, that the Lord of all glory, of all creation, if he was going to pick some men that were going to go and testify about him and to share about his life and what he had done, you'd expect them to be the high flyers, wouldn't you? You'd expect them to be the lawyers, the people who, the movers and shakers in society, you know, the semi-royalty, the upper class. You'd expect them to sort of go for those sort of people. The ones who had real say-so, real clout in the Roman Empire. If we're honest, these men were a right little motley crew, weren't they? Right little hodgepodge of different people. We remember that after our Lord had died, they'd all scarpered. They'd all disappeared. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. And tax collectors, you'll remember, they were hated by all of the Jews because they were now working for the Romans. But it is to these people that Jesus says, "You will be my witnesses." To Peter, who has denied him three times, the Lord Jesus says to him, "You will be my witness." Imagine how they must have felt. Imagine how they must have felt that day that they were to be his witnesses. Well, the same is true of us this evening, isn't it? We are called, if you're a Christian here this evening, you are called to be the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are called to testify about him. You are called to talk to others about him, to share what he has done in your life, what he can do in other people's life, who he is. And then you stop and you think, I'm just like the disciples. I'm slow. I don't pick things up as quickly as I should. I'm so unfaithful. I don't read my Bible as often as I should do. I don't pray as often as I should do. Have you seen how I can become so bad-tempered? There's all these things, isn't there? And I'm sure each and every one of you can think of all these reasons of why not. But Jesus, the Lord of all glory, the one who alone is wise, has chosen to use people like you and me. He hasn't chosen his own Sky Channel. He hasn't chosen his own website. He has chosen you and I. He's chosen teachers. He's chosen students. He's chosen mechanics and housewives and lawyers and factory workers. He's chosen people who are unemployed. He's chosen those who are married and those who aren't. He's chosen the young. He's chosen the old. He's chosen those who've been widowed. He's chosen people from every spectrum of every part of life. And he says to them, "You will be my witness." Notice that the apostles, they didn't have any choice, did they? It wasn't that he said to them in verse 8, "You could be my witnesses. You might be. You know, here's a chance for you to opt out." He says to them that you shall be witnesses. You shall be witnesses. you and I, as Christians, we are to be witnesses. Witnesses in work. That can be difficult, can't it? Whole office. You're the only Christian. They're all laughing at something that maybe they shouldn't. Do you do the same? Or even a topic of conversation has been struck up in the staff room. What did you do yesterday? I went for a meal with the family. It comes to you, mumble, mumble, mumble. Quick, move on. But you're a witness there. That can be difficult. We're to be witnesses at home. That can be even more difficult than being a witness in work at times. Unconverted family members. Very often antagonistic, and we need to be wise. So, I know of one lady whose husband was unconverted. So very, very sort of trimming, full of zeal, this lady. But she took things a bit too far when she used to go to the local Christian bookshop and buy A1 size posters of scripture verses and stick them on the roof of their bedroom. So whenever he woke up, the first thing that he saw was this scripture verse. Heart in the right place. Just not very wise. But we're to be witnesses at home. The way that you deal with your children, the way that you speak to them, the way that you are with your parents, with your wife, with your husband, the way that you are with your neighbour. With all of these relationships that we have, we are witnesses. We're a witness in church. These children that were here this morning, there's a responsibility there, isn't there? You're witnesses to them of the Lord Jesus. Of those who come along who've never been to church in their life before. We can witness to them. All of us are to be witnesses. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the elders. It's not the church officers. It's not just those who are good at speaking. It's for everybody. And who are we to be witnesses of? Witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Son. Greater than anyone. The one who is the fulfillment of hundreds of biblical prophecies. The one who is the key figure of history, of humanity. The one who is unique. The one who walked on water. The one who was raised from the dead. The one who opened blind eyes. The one who brought eternal life. The only one who we can be pardoned through his name. And yet you and I are called to be a witness for him. Is that your priority this evening? Is that your priority? To be a witness for him? Is that your priority? You may be thinking, oh, there's so much to do. I could lose face. I could be laughed at. Maybe it's even this evening, I don't know any non-Christians. There's people in our church, in the church I attend in Cardiff, who don't know any non-Christians. But surely this is telling us that we should know non-Christians, because our job on this earth is to be witnesses to them, to share about the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that the most important thing? Because when we think about what he's done, when we go back to this morning and we look at what David said in that psalm, of how the Lord is with us in life, how through him we can rest in hope in death, and how we have pleasures forevermore in eternity, then surely he should be our priority. But how can you fill that priority? Because it's not as easy. It's not as easy as just saying that, is it? You might be thinking, it's very easy for you to say that up the front. You've come down from Cardiff. You've spoken to us twice. You're going to do a runner again this evening. It's very easy for you because you're not going to see what happens to me tomorrow. But what's going to happen on Thursday or next week or whatever it is? So we need to ask, how can we do this? How can we fulfill this priority? How can we be witnesses? Well, we need some fuel. Don't suppose you've ever tried driving a car without any petrol. I tried it once. We didn't go very far. If you've seen the launch of NASA launching one of those space shuttles on the TV, and there's all the fuel that they burn to get this thing out and up and into the sky, all this liquid hydrogen. If they didn't have it, it wouldn't move. It needs something to get going. What do you think of the disciples? Think of the men to whom Jesus says this. They were timid, weren't they? They'd just gone into hiding. They'd denied him. Peter had said he'd never know. I don't know who he is. I think we can all relate to that, can't we? Yet look what's happened. They get promised power. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. They were promised power. Look what happened to them then in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. They have, this is seen through the tongues of fire. And these men were never the same again. Peter, the one who denied the Lord Jesus. Here he is preaching a sermon that thousands upon thousands of people are converted through. Lives turned upside down. These men were never the same again. When you look at how many of them died, martyrs' deaths, how the suffering that they went through in life, the persecution, they were different. How do you sort of explain the growth of the early church with all that was going on? They had been given the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. And often in our sort of circles, we can put him to the background, can't we? We focus on the Lord Jesus, we focus on the cross, and rightly so, on what he's done. But we need to remember that we have also been given the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian here this evening, you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. God has given him to you. The strength, the power, the capability to accomplish the task in hand. And no one else would have been good enough for the Lord to have given us. If you think about it as a Christian, from John 3, verse 3, you were born again through the Spirit. John 16, verse 8, you were convicted through the Spirit. We need to remember that, don't we? When we look outside and we see what society is like, and we can worry about what's going to happen, who's going to say what, everything else that goes on. Yet here Luke says, doesn't he? There's a promise that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now we need to say, don't we, that the Pentecost was, that's not going to happen again. So if you're all sat here waiting for tongues of fire to come from our heads, and then that's when we're going to go and sort of share things, that's not going to happen. But as we said, every Christian has been born again through the Spirit. They have received the Spirit. So that's true of us, the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, that third person of the Godhead is in us. And maybe you're scared, like Peter. You look at this and you think, oh, Lord, I know it. But when I look at you and what you've done, how great you are, and how insignificant I am, and how I let you down, how I stutter my words, I don't even make sense, I don't know what to do. We need to remember that that's how God works. In Zechariah in chapter 4 and verse 6. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. God doesn't want people who think they can go and save the world through their own power. God won't use people who think that they can go and sort out all the problems in their own might. God doesn't use people who think that they can save people by themselves. That somehow that we're gonna change this whole world. The only way that we will ever be true witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ is through the Holy Spirit. Evangelism is not about your gifting. Evangelism is not about your strength. It is not about your age. It is not about the clothes that you wear, how cool you are. It's not about whether you can communicate or not with people from different generations. It's not about how long you've been a Christian. The most important part, and I wish I could think of a better word, in evangelism is the Holy Spirit. So often, we focus so much on what we're doing, don't we? We do. We get so busy doing stuff, we forget to pray. We don't ask the Lord to be with us. We don't ask for His power and His might and His strength. So when we're in our kids' clubs, it's about relying on the Holy Spirit. Asking Him to work and convict. When we're in work, and somebody sort of talks about, Stephen Hawking, or it's his birthday, isn't it, this weekend? They might sort of say to you tomorrow, did you see all that stuff? Isn't it great? Or that thing they're doing under the mountain in Switzerland. Isn't it amazing the things they're going to find out? They're going to know about the Big Bang. Well, it doesn't really matter that you don't know everything that there is to know or not about science. What matters is you know the Lord Jesus. And what matters is that His Spirit is in you. And that through Him, you will be witnesses. Do you rely on your own strength? I think we all do sometimes. I think we all do because we all like to be able to say we've done something. I think it's a natural reaction for somebody to do it. We don't like to sort of say we're helpless here. We need help. We like to sort of be able to think, I can do this. But we need to rely on the power of God. What's going to change this valley? What's going to change this town? What's going to change this country? Not me. Not you. But God, who wants to work through us. And do we ask? Do we ask Him for that? Do we ask Him to work in power? We do on a Sunday. What about the rest of the week? When we're in work? When we're just talking over a meal with our family? When we're talking, having a coffee with somebody from work? When we're talking over the fence to our neighbour? Because Luke is clear that once we receive this power, that's when we are true witnesses. So our priority is to be witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we do that? Well, not in our own strength. You and I both know that as soon as we go out of the steps, down the stairs, open the door, into our cars, we'll have already done something probably or thought something that we shouldn't have done. We need to do it through the Spirit's power, the third person of the Godhead. So where should we live out our priority? How big is your vision for the gospel? How big is your vision for the gospel? In work we have a vision. I won't bore you with the vision now, but it gets rammed down my throat, at least every single email. It's on the bottom of, it's just like, sort of, yeah. But the world does that. They have visions, don't they, of what we're trying to achieve. And that's not always bad. It's sometimes a good thing. But how big is your vision for the gospel? How big is your vision of being a witness? How big is your own vision for you personally? Not just the gospel as a whole, but for you personally. How big is your vision? Because here, our Lord, as He's speaking to these disciples, He gives them three places, doesn't He? He mentions three places in verse 8. They're to be witnesses in Jerusalem, that's first. Then in Judea and Samaria, that's second. And then finally, to the ends of the earth. He starts in Jerusalem. Charity begins at home, that's what the world tells us. But what our Lord is saying, that yes, there's a place for evangelism at home. Jerusalem was where the disciples were. It was their locality. It was where they lived. And we're to be witnesses in our locality. As we've said, when you go and buy your paper in the morning, you can be a witness to that person. When you're in the supermarket, you can be a witness to that person. The neighbour over the fence. The elderly person who lives around the corner from you on their own. You can invite them round for a meal. But we're to be witnesses in our own locality. And humanly speaking, our churches will not grow unless we reach out to those around us. The Lord has put churches in different places to share his message, to be witnesses for him. And this, when we think about that as a field to go and witness, we've got loads of people, haven't we? Friends, neighbours, family members. I'm sure every person here has at least one person in their family who isn't a believer. Somebody somewhere that they know that they could share the gospel with. But as well as Jerusalem, our Lord says that it also they're to go to all Judea and Samaria. A bit wider. He's widening the scope. And this is sometimes the one that we can miss out. We're very good at short evangelism in our area. And sometimes we're very good at ends of the earth in terms of being involved in missionaries. But how up to date were we with what's going on in our own country? How do we share and be witnesses in this area? And imagine that these men, they're Jews. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, you're going to be my witnesses in Samaria. Since when did Jews go and do anything with Samaritans? It's like a Welshman being told he's got to go to England. No, it's worse than that. But Jews going to Samaria. This wasn't going to be just as easy as hanging around in our own locality and doing and carrying on with our lives just as they were. What Jesus was saying was turning their whole thought process upside down. No longer was this just about the Jews. It was also about the Samaritans. Samaria was landlocked. The Jews hated them. They had no dealings with them. Yet here the Lord Jesus Christ says to these men, you are going to go and be witnesses to those people. You're going to be my witnesses. And we're to be witnesses, aren't we? We're to be witnesses. Not just in our own locality, but also wider than that, our own country, our own county and country and so on. And you might be thinking, well, what does that mean for me? Well, we're all part of, I can say this, you know, your church here, my church, they're fairly decent sized. Have we ever been open to the Lord moving us somewhere else? And that's not to say that he will, but have we ever thought of going somewhere where maybe there isn't a church? Or strengthening a smaller church. As churches, do we share prayer time with other churches? I know you guys have got one on Thursday, which is a good thing. We do the same sort of thing in Cardiff. But are there other churches that you can get involved with across the country, across the UK, to sort of share things with, to pray for, to go through this and help witness? Could you sort of have some people going up and helping out or coming down? But we get very comfortable, don't we, in our own area. And sometimes we need to be open to the fact that Lord Jesus here says, look, you will be my witnesses beyond that. But he also says that you will be witnesses to the end of the earth. Now this is scary for some. Some of us find going out of our streets uncomfortable. Others find going out of our town uncomfortable. There is something, isn't there, special about when you go back to your hometown if you live away from there. But here the Lord says that we are to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. He told that to his disciples, and certainly of the world that was around them. They fulfilled that, didn't they? You think of where these men went to spread the gospel. And the question for each and every one of us this evening is, are you willing to help the witness of the gospel that far? Because the first thing that we all need to think is would be, are we willing to go around the world for the gospel? This is how stark and straight Jesus is talking to these men. They weren't going back to being fishermen. They weren't going back to being tax collectors. But even with ourselves, even if you're not called to do that, there's things that we can do. We can pray. We can give money. We can support. We can get missionaries along to talk about what they're doing so that we can help them so that they may be witnesses. But the key thing is God's vision for the gospel is worldwide. It's not just focused on one small town. It's not focused on one race like the Jews. Since the coming of the Lord Jesus. And throughout all time, God's plan has always been to redeem himself for people from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. So then, as we finish, Christ's purpose for you and I as Christians is to be his witness. That's non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. Through his Spirit, because we can't do things in our own strength, to the whole world, of which Clitoch is part, Cardiff is part, and the whole world. And the question this evening I want to ask as we finish is, do you take that seriously? Is that true of you this evening, that your first priority in 2012 is to be a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you going to say at the end of the year, sorry, Lord, my family came first. Sorry, Lord, my career came first. Sorry, Lord, my friends came first, or my retirement came first. Surely what we should be saying is, Lord, give me opportunities. When we understand truly what he has done for us, what he has rescued us from, our prayer should be, here I am. Send me. Let's pray. Father, we know that you have given us a difficult calling in many senses. We know that being a witness for the Lord Jesus, whilst being one of the most amazing things, to be able to testify to the one who is so great and so wonderful, who means so much to us. It is exciting, but at the same time, it can be incredibly difficult. Father, we pray that we would take this responsibility seriously, that you would help us and that you would give us wisdom to share with those around us. We do pray that you would help us to share with those who are closest to us, who do not know you. We pray that in our lives that we may always point to the Lord Jesus, that we would not just seek to live a life that glorifies the Lord Jesus, but that you would help us too to speak about him. Father, we would testify of what he has done in our lives, that we would be able to talk about how great he is and what he has done. And Lord, we pray that you would help us never ever to do this in our own strength, for we know that it is not by our own gifts, but it is only through your Spirit that people are saved. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit, that he would help us. We pray that he would give us confidence, not in ourselves, but in the message that we have. That he would help us at all times and all things to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you would help us to have a bigger vision for your gospel. Father, your Son commanded us to go into the whole world. And whilst you may not have called all of us to do that, Father, we know that we can be witnesses to you here, first and foremost, where we are. And we pray that you would help us to do that. But in all things, that we would also be supporting in any way that we can those who are in the mission field, both home and abroad. Father, our brothers and sisters who give up so much to proclaim your word. Father, we pray that you would help us to do this, that as we move into this new year, that this would be, Father, this would be our focus, our priority, that we would be witnesses of the Lord Jesus. He is so great. We, even this evening, we can wonder how we can ever truly witness for him. How can we do that? Father, when he has done so much and he is so great, how can we be his witness? We pray that through your Spirit, that you would use us to give all glory to him. Father, take away us and put the Lord Jesus in our place. Father, in the words that we say, Lord, we pray that you would do this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.